It's a special edition of Mugs of the Morning here on KODY, as we have Chief of Police for the City of North Platte, Dan Hudson, joining us. Chief Hudson, good to have you in the studio again.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How have you been?
I'm well. I'm over here distracting you as you do your weather, trying to get this microphone set up.
How was your
amateur hour here?
Amateur hour. No, we're professionals by now. We've been doing this for, we're coming on 2 years, right?
Yeah, a year and a half.
Oh, my goodness. How was your Independence Day?
It was beautiful. What a gorgeous day. Spent some time out at the lake and watched the fireworks out there in the evening. It was just a beautiful evening to be out on the lake.
Awesome, yeah. Perfect opportunity to take advantage of the wonderful lake we have right here and celebrate our great nation.
Absolutely, and always try to remember, you know, what it's all about.
Absolutely.
Puts it all in perspective.
Oh, absolutely. Makes a person think, that's for sure. So glad to hear you had a good Independence Day. How did the month of June go for you?
We've been busy.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's not uncommon. So, you know, and especially now as we roll into budget season, and that's never a fun time of the year. And then especially with some of the challenges that the city's going to face this year with our budget. So I think we're all working and having to make some difficult decisions and having to try to put some stuff in, not perspective, but try to prioritize some of our operations and try to figure out where we go from here. So we'll see how it all turns out.
Now, some real positive news coming out of the department in the month of June, a new police cruiser, right?
We got our one cruiser in. We've got a couple more coming. We have one more coming from last year's budget, and those kind of, it's taken a lot longer than we'd hoped. Ford, which we purchased, Ford Explorers, they shut down their assembly line, and I think our two that were supposed to come off the assembly line or get on the assembly line were two or three away. Mm-hmm. Typical, you know, you were next.
Yeah.
And then so as they shut
down. You're on deck, but then the coronavirus hits.
Yeah. Then so we were able to get one of those in, and then we should be getting another one hopefully within the next couple weeks. It should be getting to Lincoln for outfitting, and then it'll come out here and for some other equipment issues and our new wraps, and then we'll get going with that, and then hopefully we'll maybe have one more coming in the new year.
Now, how much work has to be done to the vehicles to make them obviously police-worthy after they get off the assembly line?
A lot.
A lot? I can't imagine.
Yeah, just the equipment that we put in them, the electronics, the spare batteries, I don't know how, I'd have to figure out how many feet of cable we run in those things just from back to front, front to back, because of all the electronic equipment that's in them. It's a lot of stuff. It takes 3, 4, 5 weeks sometimes to outfit them, and then you have to put lights and push bars and all kinds of different equipment in them. So it's a lot of equipment. There's a lot that goes into them. They're, you know, it's a mobile office for us. We've talked about that before, and there's just so much equipment that goes into them, so much technology that goes into them, it takes a minute.
And I've never thought about that until you've mentioned it before in the past, Chief Hudson, that is a mobile office in a lot of ways. Some of your officers don't have an office or a desk back at the station. That vehicle is very much their desk and their office.
It absolutely is, and especially as times have changed with the corona, the COVID-19 issues, where we've tried to keep our people separate from each other. They can do the vast majority of all their paperwork and stuff like that from their computers and their equipment in the cars. They still have to come in as far as if they're going to book evidence and they're going to do that kind of stuff. But they can prep all that stuff and get it all around and do all the paperwork side of it from the car. So it really is their mobile office.
And then the new vehicle we have here, obviously, it stands out a little bit with that brand new wrap, and the wrap's done locally with Toxic Graphics.
Absolutely, Toxic Graphics. We've partnered with them on a couple things. We partnered with them last year on our in October for the Pink Patch program that we ran. They did some great work for us there, and then we went to them earlier this year and asked them if they could help us design that. We kind of gave them a little bit of what we are looking for, and then we let the artist loose, because I'm amazed by artists, because first off, I can't draw. I don't have an artistic bone in my body. I can visualize something, but I can hardly explain it.
But about the same way.
But you go over to folks like that, and you kind of give them a couple roughs, and you kind of explain what we're trying to do or what we'd like to see, and then they come back with 3 or 4 design concepts within you know, a day, and then we whittled it down, and we kind of we're kind of surprised because we kept it quiet. There was only a couple people at the department that Chief Reeves and I kind of knew about it, and it's hard to keep anything quiet at the police department.
I know. I saw the Facebook post, and I thought, oh my gosh, that's beautiful police car. And then I thought, wait, where is this? I don't think I follow any other police departments on my Facebook rather than our own. And yeah. I thought, oh my gosh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, talking to some of our officers, they're like, oh. The people waved. Our guys waved at it, thinking because we have different agencies that drive through town or people
sure.
that are visiting and figured, oh, who's that? You know, and then it's like, hey, that says North Platte on it. That's pretty cool. So
hey, that's ours.
We were kind of excited to be able to keep it quiet and stuff like that. And hopefully, you know, we'll have, you know, we're not going to be able to in these economic times. We can't take the wraps off everything else and all go to one. So as we roll new cars in and old cars off, the new cars will have this scheme on them. So at the end of the summer, hopefully we'll have three new Explorers with this paint scheme, wrap scheme on them, and then we'll have three of the older Explorers, and then we'll be down to just about four other older cars. So
now, you mentioned that this was approved by the City Council, obviously last budget session, but does the City Council just approve the purchase of the vehicles, and then is it up to you to decide what type of vehicle? Or
the when we make those decisions, we put in on the budget what we're buying, police
okay.
interceptors, and our philosophy has been trying to go to a common fleet. So you want our people to be able to sit down in this car, in car 4 or car 9 or car 2, and have it be exactly the same.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
we had some Ford Tauruses, we had some Tauruses, which is just a regular car. Then we had some Chevy Impala type cars that are just a regular car. Then we have a Tahoe. Then we have some Ford Explorers, and we had, you know, so we're trying to get it to a common fleet. That'll
okay.
take time. Unfortunately, we're not in a physical position to be able to go out there and replace 10 cars at a time. So we
mm-hmm.
try to budget or try to request two or three cars a year. 2 years ago, we didn't get any. Last year, we got two. This year, it doesn't look like we'll get any, but we're trying to make some other arrangements to do some other things to get one. And the problem with that is every year you don't get one. Even our three newest Explorers, other than the one we just got, those have been in service 3 years now, and they have 60,000 plus miles. Those
wow.
cars run 24 hours a day,
oh,
seven
sure.
days a week. They never
sure. they stop to get gas, and that's about it.
Yeah, and then even at that, when they're if they're parked outside the station and they're assigned to officers, if the officers are in, they don't turn them off because there's so much electronics in them that draws so much. They have to keep them running because otherwise the batteries and everything, then it becomes a huge technology problem when the batteries fail and
sure.
and stuff like that. So when those cars are assigned, they don't, like I say, literally they run 24 hours a day.
Wow.
And and also give a huge shout out to our people over that maintain those at the city shops and stuff. They're the ones that work on our cars. They're the ones that keep our fleet rolling and moving. And anybody that knows police officers or cops, they're not always the softest on equipment. Those cars are ridden pretty hard sometimes. So
we get our money's worth out of them, is what you're saying.
Absolutely, and you know, and it's for us, it's a huge safety issue when we start pushing a lot of miles, because those cars, they, you know, you might see them just driving around at 25 miles an hour on the streets at 2 in the afternoon, but that same car might be going considerably faster down a street chasing somebody
yeah.
at 3 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we have to always make sure, you know, that's part of safety for our people and safety for our community and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. So our city shops do a great job over there of keeping them maintained, and it's sometimes that's a challenge. We do things to cars and people come in and go, how in the world did you do this? And typical cop response, oh, I don't know. I was just driving.
Somebody else did it.
Well, it was the last person that drove it, of course.
Now, how is it decided who got to drive the new Explorers then? Is that a matter of seniority among the department, or was there some interesting words exchanged to decide who was going to get to break that one in?
I don't know. I stay out of that one.
Okay.
That's a decision made far above my pay scale. No, that's you know, we put it into rotation. I think the only thing we said, you know, the first few days, based on the information from Toxic Graphic, don't wash it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course. So then, every media outlet in the city wants pictures of it and do a story on it in the first 2 days, and we can't wash it for 3 days, and it's filthy, dirty, and it's got the one time it's rained in the last 3 months was the day before, you know.
Yeah.
So,
as soon as Kano P comes over with the camera,
that was it. And then, I know Matt's listening today, and he was tasked with going over and sponge washing it. Hey, yeah, great job, Matt. We're still trying to figure out what the heck you did to that thing.
Hey, if that's all it takes to get some rain, let's have Officer Elder do it again. I think he'd be on board with that.
Yeah, so actually the first person that drove it was Chief Reeves. He picked it up in Lincoln and drove it back, so he got the first break-in of the
fun little project.
New car smell and everything driving back. And that's when it was just a black Explorer. No lights, no anything, so... No tattletale systems on it that tell you how fast he was going and all those things.
It was a civilian system.
Yeah, it was a civilian car there, so Steve got to drive it first.
Well, rightfully so. Steve's a good guy, obviously, upper head at the department, so we'll let him get the privilege of breaking that in a little bit.
Absolutely, and then if he breaks it, he buys it.
It's coming out of your paycheck, buddy.
Don't wreck this thing, Reeves.
We're going to take a quick commercial break and continue our chat with the chief with Chief Dan Hudson of the North Platte Police Department. After a quick break on KODY.
Well, I guess since everyone is moving locations, I did too. This is Justin Thompson with American Family Insurance. I have moved to 501 South Dewey, just one block south of Little Caesars Pizza at the corner of E and Dewey. I look forward to seeing you at our new location, 501 South Dewey.
Learning how to market your business shouldn't cost a fortune. The Grow Nebraska Foundation presents Market Tech, the Midwest premier conference for marketing and social media. Join 300-plus attendees on July 21st at the Unis Conference Center in Kearney. Learn digital marketing tips from nationally renowned speakers on topics about storytelling, Google, and so much more. Host a booth in our networking plaza as an added benefit. Visit MarketTechConference.com to view the full agenda and register today.
You've planted your garden, landscaped your yard, and now it's time to enjoy it for the summer. Wait, what's this? Weeds? Insects? It's time to get to Hibner's. They have Fertilome products that make your landscape weed-free and can take care of those pesky insects, too. And with Fertilome fertilizer, you're sure to have the best blooms all summer long. Give your green thumb a hand when you use Fertilome. Hibner's Lawn and Garden, your Fertilome dealer on the corner of 8th and Poplar in North Platte. Barefoot ready and patio approved.
Santa's been busy making his list, but the elves at Viero are helping him check it twice with big Christmas and July savings on iPhones like a free SE or up to $700 off the 11 series with a new line of service and eligible trade. Need two lines? Buy one, get one for you and the kids. Hurry in before these deals are gone. Visit a local Viero store or Viero.com for more details. Viero Wireless, keeping you connected. See full offer details at Viero.com.
It's Christmas in July at Westfield Hallmark's Keepsake Ornament Premiere this weekend. It's never too early to celebrate what made this year unique. A new home, a new baby. See you this weekend at Westfield Hallmark's Ornament Premiere, located in the Westfield Shopping Center, West 8th Street, North Platte.
And welcome back to Mugs in the Morning on KODY, 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. Still hanging out at 64 degrees here at 820. Your time and temp is service of Mike and the friendly crew from your local Grease Monkey. Continuing our chat with the Chief here with Chief Dan Hudson of the North Platte Police Department. Chief, you mentioned it's been a busy summer thus far. You and your officers working around the clock, obviously, however you're needed, wherever you're needed.
Absolutely, and that's kind of what we do. Real quick, I got to tell Matt, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I was only teasing you. I don't want anyone to be mad.
Oh, Officer Elder can take it.
So, yeah, no, it's been busy in just the last couple of weeks. You know, we had an incredibly busy. I heard you talk about it a little bit on the radio the other morning, and we'd put out some press stuff over the 4th of July weekend. Was incredibly busy.
We
220 calls, I think, is roughly what we had. That's pretty substantial for what we would normally have on a holiday or on a weekend.
Yeah, for 3 days, 220 calls. That's huge.
And pretty significant arrests. A lot of dope. A lot, you know. There's some really encouraging. It's been the world of real meetings is coming back. So I've sat through a lot of real meetings this week, face to face meetings.
Awesome.
And we're encouraged with some things that will be rolled out in the media on a state and national, federal level from Lincoln. in the near future, kind of talking about our war on, not war on drugs, but our serious endeavors into trying to make a difference in some of our narcotics action or issues
the
in the state of Nebraska.
Efforts.
Yeah, and just kind of refocus and bring some, you know, it's interesting when we talk about, you know, we're going to do this, and it's like, that's great because we've been doing that every single day, you know. So, but we are always glad to accept anybody's help, and especially anything that highlights and brings a focus to what our people do every single day, and things that will, in the long run, make our communities across the entire state safer. So
sure.
we support that, and we're glad to partner with and to help get those words out. But there'll be a lot more of that coming out, and we'll be back and talk about it when it kind of starts to get unveiled. It's in the infancy now.
Awesome. Looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of excitement here to come. And Chief Hudson, you mentioned the 4th of July weekend. The officers were extremely busy. Hopefully they had an opportunity to celebrate Independence Day, too, over those 3 days. And even if it was from the squad car looking up at some fireworks while they were patrolling. But the officers were extremely busy. Looking at those numbers you guys put out on Facebook, I was a little surprised that we had that much activity over the 3 days.
Absolutely, and they do. They get a, you know, sometimes the nice thing about being a police officer is you have a front row seat to life, to what's going on in our world. Some of it's,
no need for reality TV.
Some of it's beautiful, and some of it's the good, the bad, the ugly. So I'm sure that they, if they were, you know, well, I don't think you could have gone very far in the city of North Platte over the weekend and not experienced the fireworks experience at about any time of the day. So I'm sure that they got to see some, they got to respond to some, they got to do all those things. But yeah, they do great work. We're so incredibly blessed and so fortunate in our community that, we talk about it all the time, between our police, our fire, our partners over at the Sheriff's Department, our partners down at the troop, they all do great work. And mm-hmm. I know I forgot what the numbers were, but the troop was busy over the weekend with arrests on impaired drivers. The sheriff's department is busy all the time,
mm-hmm.
you know, internal and external stuff going on in the jails and stuff going on outside. They support us. We support them as far as backing them up, being there to neither one of our organizations are big enough to be able to handle everything on our own, so we're there for each other as far as investigative or stuff like that. So it's a good partnership. But you know, just as I'm saying those things, I go through my mind because you read so much stuff, and I know you had talked about a little bit earlier in the week, and there's some stuff going on over the jail and a very tragic, unfortunate incident. But you know, when we talk about partnerships and support, we have agreements with anything that's significant type investigations that involves our agency, our employees, the Sheriff's Department will do, and anything that involves their agency, we will do. And we are conducting an investigation currently from an incident in the jail, a tragic incident in the jail. And so I wanted to say, when I talk about we support them, this, that, but Sheriff Kramer and I have, we have a great relationship, but we have also a very solid professional relationship. And mm-hmm. when we get called in to investigate things that might be going on over there, they absolutely 100% know that we will be honest, we will be transparent, we will be truthful. We understand fully that if they're called to investigate a categorical use of force or a Leary situation for us, I know that they will do absolutely what's right, and I know they will be honest. And Sheriff Kramer and I will sit down, and Sheriff Kramer will tell me, "Dan, this is what it is."
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no expectation, there's no hope, there's no if anything other than 100% truthful, transparent investigations.
Yep, honesty.
We're not. There's nothing good comes of us, you know, smudging this or them smudging that. So, with that, Mr. Reel that passed away in the jail the other day, we're investigating that. The autopsy's today. I can assure you, as of this point in the investigation, it's a tragic situation that, but there is, we do not believe there's any foul play. There is no outside things. There was existing underlying medical conditions and some other things that occurred, but there is no foul play. There's not going to be a cover up. There, you know, we've talked to the sheriff's department. We're in touch with them, you know, as far as what's going on. So they know we'll do our job, and we know when they're called upon to investigate stuff for us that they'll do their job.
Well, I don't want to speak for Sheriff Kramer, but in my experience with Sheriff Kramer, he wants the truth in this investigation, and you can speak as the chief of police. If the roles were reversed and it was the sheriff's department conducting the investigation, you would want the truth to come out, rather it be ugly or beautiful.
Absolutely, and we've talked about it probably. I'm sure we've talked about it on this show before. You know, we're here to tell the story, and we're going to tell the truthful story. And mm-hmm. You know what? And if I'll say for our agency, if we make mistakes and our people make mistakes, we'll be out there and we'll be at the forefront of explaining that mistake and what happened and how it happened, to the extent that we can. Some of it is issues that we can't talk about, but and then we as administrators, have to work on and trying to ensure that though we put policies in place or are, you know, training or, you know, some things that happen are a result of it was a bad policy, and this policy was written 35 years ago without ever expecting the things that are going on in our world today. So our policies and procedures are ever changing, but we have to determine, was this an issue of a bad policy? Was this an issue of lack of training? Is this an issue of, you know, good initiative, poor judgment? Is it? And we have to come up with how do we can never say it'll never happen again, but how do we try to eliminate it? Sure. And put our goal every day is to put our employees in the best possible win scenario, to put them out there on the streets in a scenario that we know we sent them to work every day with the most potential to succeed. When we, you know, when we put our employees out there knowing that we're putting them out there without the possibility to succeed, that's an administrative failure, and our goal is to make sure that our people have the training, the equipment, the knowledge, the support, and the understanding of where we're trying to go and what we're trying to do every day. And I think I can speak for our organization. We try to have those conversations often. People, I think our people know what our expectations are, and they know what my hot topic buttons are. They know the things that are very important to me. We try to make sure we voice those, and those are the things that are important to our profession. And it's unfortunate with what's gone on the last 2-3 months, or probably a month and a half, 2 months across the country with our profession. And it's unfortunate because so much of it's not true. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's interesting that people involved in things, they don't want to be painted with the broad brush of, you know, the demonstrations are the peaceful protests and march and constitutional First Amendment opportunities that people here in North Platte experienced in and participated in over the last several weeks have been far different than people's gatherings in some of our other communities. So people don't want to be painted mm-hmm. with that broad brush of anybody that shows up to voice their First Amendment constitutional rights are this. Well, we as police officers, it's the same for us, because there's roughly 800,000 police officers in America, and we're painting them because of a few hand-picked incidences. And, you know, there's been more police officers hurt and killed in the last 3 weeks, and it's frustrating as a professional. But, you know, as a professional, again, we've talked about it before, some of the things that our people do or our profession does are unacceptable, and that's where we as administrators, the criminal justice system, have to step in and deal with those things. And I think we definitely are doing those things, and we don't shy away from them. Some of those things we can't put on billboards and say this is what we did, mm-hmm. but we as professionals have to deal with them, and I think we are.
Well, and we, like we've talked about before too, Chief Hudson, is yes, there are bad individuals in the law enforcement field, but there's also bad individuals who are radio disc jockeys, who are cashiers at the grocery store.
Those disc jockeys are the worst.
You got to watch out for them. You got to watch out.
Especially those ones that are up early. Yeah. No, you're
but
right.
Yeah, in every field, there's bad eggs, unfortunately.
You know, we used to have a saying in the Marine Corps, you know, there's always 10%. 10% of okay. Marines are bad, you know, people, and 10% of people get through. 10% will get through whatever you're trying to figure out how to make things better. So, you know, and And we're all humans. Mm-hmm. We all come from different backgrounds, different places, different motivations, different stuff that, you know, and different beliefs and different, you know, how we were raised and what our morals and values are. And we try very, very hard through an extensive background program, through an extensive interview process, through polygraph tests to try to make sure that we weed people out through the hiring process. But I will assure the public that just because someone gets hired, that process doesn't stop. We continue to monitor. We continue to take action. We continue to continue training and biases and implicit biases and relationships and, you know, all those things. We continue to train our people often. So it doesn't just stop when someone gets hired and gets through the academy and they strap on a gun and a badge and they go out and we release them on the public. You know, it's a continuing, you know, this is something that we'll continue to train and talk about, and our supervisors talk about it, roll calls, and it's just those conversations that we need to continue to have. So, and we do have those.
We do need to take a quick commercial break here as it's time for a news break on Mugs in the Morning. We'll continue our Chow the Chief with Chief Dan Hudson after this.
Time now for Husker Radio News. Here's Tristan Winder.
A new case of the coronavirus was announced yesterday by the West Central District Health Department. The new case is a female in her 80s who is actively isolating at her home in Lincoln County. And according to a social media post from the Health Department, the case is a close contact of a community spread case. A total of 65 COVID-19 cases have been found in the West Central District Health Department's jurisdiction, with 52 individuals completely recovering. In the state, coronavirus cases are now at 20,425. The U.S. government will provide its latest snapshot today of the layoffs that have remained stuck at an elevated weekly pace above 1 million since the coronavirus erupted in March, even as newly reopened businesses have rehired some workers. Though the weekly toll of job cuts has gradually dropped, the pace of improvement has essentially stalled as companies continue to shed workers. A resurgence of confirmed viral cases is threatening to derail what had looked like the start of an economic recovery. United Airlines is warning 36,000 employees that they could be furloughed in October. The outlook for a recovery in the airline industry has dimmed in just the past 2 weeks as infection rates rise in much of the U.S. American Airlines executives say they could have 20,000 more employees than the airline will need this coming fall.
How do you define strength? Is it physical? Or is it mental? Maybe it's both. Maybe it's whatever empowers a person to dig deeper, fight harder, and overcome obstacles that once seemed insurmountable. Discover how much stronger and more confident your children can be. Encourage them to participate in a sport when they go to high school.
This message presented by the Nebraska School Activities Association and the Nebraska State Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Here's your forecast on News Talk 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. Mostly sunny for today. A spotty shower or storm is possible in the area, mainly late in the afternoon. Highs top out near 86 degrees. Winds east 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, a spotty shower or storm is still possible before midnight. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies and light winds. Lows drop to 63. And then sunny on Friday and highs head into the lower 90s. That's your weather forecast for KODY, 1240 AM and 106.1 FM.
Husker Radio Sports.
With a look at your Husker Radio Sports, I'm Tanner Struckman. Ohio State has officially paused voluntary workouts for football and women's volleyball, along with men's and women's basketball, according to the statement by the university yesterday. That was because of positive COVID tests. They did not release the number of athletes who tested positive, choosing not to share that information public, but still pausing all voluntary workouts. It was also put out yesterday by Tom Deanhart of Rivals.com that the 2020 college football season very well may see a 10-game Big Ten only schedule. He said probably in the next 8 to 10 days, according to a source, that a decision could be made to move from a 12 to a 10-game schedule, with each Big Ten school playing just conference games and no non-conference games. Also yesterday, Ivy League officially canceled their fall sports as well. other conferences now being courted by certain legislators to do the same. For the Ivy League, that means men's basketball, which typically begins in November, will not start for the conference until January 1st at the latest. And North Platte FNBO baseball last night in Hastings lost 2. They lose 6-3 and 7-5. They're now 17-6 on the year. They'll return to action this Saturday. They'll play one game against Millard North in Kearney at 4 o'clock. Then they'll host Kearney's B team on Sunday at Billwood Field. That's sports. I'm Tanner Struckman.
Find the perfect flooring for your home or business at Swan's Fine Home. We offer hard surface options from Mohawk and Cortec and are the only dealer of Karastan carpet with smart strand technology and all PEP protection. Swan's Fine Home, 420 East 4th Street, North Platte.
It's time for Project Connect on Husker Radio. Each year, Project Connect hosts an in-person event as a one-stop shop for families and individuals to connect with services around the area. The event is sponsored by Families First Partnership. This year, due to COVID-19, the event could not take place. In its absence, Husker Radio was proud to partner with Families First Partnership and provide an audio resource to get the word out on these critical organizations. To learn more about Project Connect, go to familiesfirstpartnership.org. You can also hear all our Project Connect interviews at HuskerRadio.com. Now, on with today's Project Connect, here's Tristan Winder.
Welcome to another edition of Project Connect here on KODY Husker Radio. We're talking with Bobby Carpenter today from Central Plains Center for Services. Bobby, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
You are the PALS coordinator, is that correct?
A PALS specialist.
Okay. And tell me what PALS is. Let's talk. You guys offer a lot of services at Central Plains Center for Services, but we're going to focus on PALS today because that's where you're focused on. Tell me what PALS is.
PALS stands for Preparation for Adult and Transitional Living Services for youth who have been in foster care from ages 14 to 26 here in Nebraska.
Awesome. And so I assume you help that transition out of the foster homes?
Somewhat. It just depends on each youth. It's a voluntary program, and we work on skills that work with employment, housing, education, employment, to help them to kind of fulfill their journey to being successful.
So,
and that's different for each kid.
You mentioned adult in the title there. Does this also help the adults that are helping out these children then?
It's actually as they go into adulthood.
Okay, gotcha.
Because we want them to be a part of the community and engage in the community and have supports within the community. And so a lot of it's just educating them and helping them to find where those resources and supports are.
Talking with Bobby Carpenter from Central Plains Center for Services here on Project Connect. Obviously unable to have the in-person Project Connect fair there at the DNN Event Center, so we're happy to provide an opportunity to get the word out for Central Plains Center for Services. I assume that process of transitioning into adult life probably a little bit scary for any kid, and certainly can be even scarier for those who've been through what they've been through. So I'm sure this is a great service for them to have a resource to be able to fall back on and get some help as they enter the adulthood.
Yes.
Bobby Carpenter with us here. Tell me about some other programs with Central Plains Center for Services that you guys offer.
They offer ETV, which is an educational program. It's a grant, and if they meet that criteria, they're open for that. They also have the LEAP program, which is also dealing with education. And we're a partner to many other programs that are already existing in communities to help access so that they have a seamless transition from services.
And I know you guys have you're centered in. Are you centered in Broken Bow? But you're all over the state.
Yeah, our main office started 25 years ago in Broken Bow, and we now have staff across the state in offices in Omaha, Lincoln, Columbus, Norfolk, Grand Island, Kearney, and North Platte and Scotts Bluff.
Awesome. And how long have you been with Central Plains Central Plains Center for Services?
I worked with Central Plains when I had my prior job. I would do referrals to the PALS program, and I worked with the specialists they had, but I actually came aboard in November of last year.
Awesome. And tell me about why. Why did you join this group?
I love their mission and their values and what they're trying to do for youth, because they really want the kids to have personal and community engagement and know their resources. They can be helped getting education so that they can set goals for their future. We help them find employment if that's what they're wanting, daily living and housekeeping, just teaching them those skills to be successful. And we help them to help balance their mental health and physical health. And we can help with training. And most importantly, the kids, they drive it. It's what their goals are. It's not what someone else is making for them.
Well, that's awesome. Any group that's helping out our youth is one we're glad to support. Anybody has any questions or maybe wants to get in touch with you, maybe they have a youth that would be, or they know of a youth that could benefit from your services, what's the best way to reach out to you?
They can call 308-520-5845, which is my phone number, or they can contact Central Plains and Broken Bow as well.
I've also seen your website, central-plains.org, as well. There's a lot of good information on there. Bobby Carpenter with Central Plains Center for Services, one of the many Project Connect vendors that we're talking with here on Husker Radio. Bobby, anything else today we need to talk to you about?
No, I think that covers it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for what you do. This is obviously a great nonprofit. Central Plains Center for Services, we appreciate your guys' hard work. I'm sure it's very much appreciated by those that are using it as well. And we thank you for joining us here on the radio today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Project Connect on Husker Radio. You can listen back to this and all other Project Connect interviews at huskerradio.com. And learn more about Project Connect at familiesfirstpartnership.org, the sponsor of this great program.
With all the nasty stuff in the air these days, isn't it time to make good nasal hygiene your new normal? You wouldn't go a day without washing your hands or brushing your teeth, but what about your nose? It's the body's air filter, and it traps germs that can make you sick and allergens that can make you miserable. Nasal irrigation cleans your nose by flushing out allergens, mucus, bacteria, and worse. And it's clinically proven to relieve congestion naturally without drugs. I'm Martin Hoke, and I invented Navage, the world's only nose cleaner with powered suction. Navage is the easy-to-use alternative to neti pots, pills, and sprays. Here's my promise to you. Try Navage. If it doesn't relieve congestion and help you breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, and feel healthier, just return it for a full, no-questions-asked refund. Over 1 million sold. Online at Navage.com or at Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Bed Bath, and Target. Make good nasal hygiene your new normal with Navage. N-A-V-A-G-E.
Back to the KODY studio for more Mugs in the Morning with Tristan Winder, only on KODY 1240 AM, 106.1 FM.
And welcome back to Mugs in the Morning. It's a special edition as we have Chief Dan Hudson, the Chief of Police for the City of North Platte, joining us. Chief Hudson, always appreciate the time that you have for us here on KODY, and have to tip the cap to you and the department because transparency has been a big thing for you. You talked about it a little bit when referring to some investigation work and just general investigation work, but transparency is a big thing, and in part of that, you've been coming on here for Mugs in the Morning pretty much since you made it here to town.
Absolutely, and you know, information communication is key, and you know, we depend upon the public trust and the public support to do what we do. So I think our whole thing is just try to be out there and be honest and open. And some things we need to get in front of. Some things we would rather. There are things that we can't talk about, but most of those things, you know, we'll have some sort of statement about it. You know, so you know we try really hard, and our people. We're very fortunate here that our cops are truly professional and they do a great job, and it's a tough time to be a police officer today. It's a tough time to be a police officer out in police cars knocking on doors and pulling people over, because the first thing that people say is, again, that broad brush, and I just tip my hats every day, and you know, and you just appreciate the job they do. And it's funny because Jerome and I'll talk, and you know, anybody at this level, every night you go to bed, you say a prayer and you pray that all of our people make it through the night. You know, you get up, you do the oncoming shift, and there's nothing worse at this level than when that phone rings in the middle of the night. And
mm-hmm.
You know, a couple Saturdays ago, I don't know what time I got called at 4:45, I think, or 4:30, because we had an individual that was shooting at the police, you know, and it was a barricade over there. And we
forgot about that incident a few weeks ago.
We got up, and I got there at about 5:15, but by the time I got there, our people had a good solid perimeter going, and you know, shots were still being fired. But you know, that goes to the narrative that's out there today in our world is we had an individual that fired 20 plus rounds at or near the police. And guess what? That person was ultimately taken into jail without further incident. He was not shot. He was not hurt.
Injured at all.
He was not, you know, resources were brought in from the state patrol, the sheriff's office, the police department, and through teamwork, communication, training, that incident was brought to an end in a peaceful, you know, time. It takes time. It doesn't happen, okay, we're here right now, come out. But that individual that was taken into custody, again, because of the maturity, the professionalism of our officers, that could have ended very tragic on lots of locations, you know, or not locations, lots of times that, you know, it could have ended tragically for us, could have ended tragically for him, it could have ended tragically for our community. But because of the professionalism and the leadership that was out there and stuff like that, it had a very positive ending, and we're super, super happy because we are a few inches away from having some very tragic event happen. So
yeah, obviously tragedy was avoided with that, and a lot of patience by the officers too, because obviously in this situation you have to have a lot of patience, and as a law enforcement officer you have to have patience anyway, but in this situation in particular you have to have those patience. And the situation that you're referring to, Chief Hudson, I know that some law enforcement officers from the North Platte Police Department were summoned to the area after receiving some calls from concerned nearby citizens, and at one point, shots were fired at some of the officers, and State Patrol came to the assistance of the North Platte Police Department, Lake County Sheriff's Office, and it could have been disastrous, like you said, Chief, but thankfully, nobody was injured whatsoever.
Absolutely, and you know, the reality is, whether people want to believe the narrative that's out there or not, 99.9% of all police interactions, that's the way they end. You know, that people do things, and it's the majority of our contacts, however violent or potentially dangerous they are, end with someone getting handcuffed, someone put in the back of a police car and transported to either the jail or to the hospital for medical clearance, and then booked into jail without incident. You know, we have tens of thousands of contacts a year, and very few complaints, very few physical altercations, very few pursuits, very few in the big scheme of things.
Very few that make big headlines, because it's just day-to-day work.
Yeah, it's law enforcement. And what I've told people, and I will always preface it by the vast majority, because there's always, we can scour 800,000 police officers and tens of millions of police contacts across the country, and we can find those ones. We all know they're there. Mm-hmm. As a professional, I know there are times when our police officers, not particularly North Platte, don't uphold their oath, and we take it, we deal with those issues. But the one person that's always directly in charge of how this incident ends is generally the person, the suspect, or the person that we're having contact with. Do what the officers ask. Turn around, put your hands behind your head, do this and that. They're going to have handcuffs are going to go on. You know, there's a time and a place for the discussion, but to sit there screaming, yelling, and fight at the officers and throw stuff at the officers and fight the officers, if that happens, the police are going to take you into custody. If you comply, it's probably going to end up all right, and then there's a whole legal process,
mm-hmm.
and there's a complaint process, and there's a review process. But like we say, those scenarios aren't going to get solved at 2:30 in the morning at the corner of Walk and Don't Walk.
Yeah. But, well, and the discussion is great, and it's not a problem at all to have the discussion with law enforcement officers about, well, why am I in trouble for this? Why am I being cited for that? Why am I under arrest for this? But it's all about doing it properly and appropriately.
Time and a place for all questions to be asked and answered. And
sure.
When I worked the streets all the time, the things that people would come up and ask you at the most inopportune times, like, really? Right now?
Okay, give me 5 minutes. We're going to make sure there's no danger to the rest of the public.
When
and
we
then
all
we'll
put
talk.
Our guns away and all these other
40, can I holster this first?
42 other police cars leave, then come up and talk to me. Yeah, when the helicopter goes away, come over and talk to me. But, so it's interesting, and our guys do a great job. And we're, like I said, I can't say it enough how blessed we are here in North Platte to have the quality of officers with the character and the compassion and the empathy and all those things, because our people are the best. And I've been around cops for a long time, and I'll put our people up against anybody. They come to work every day and they do a great job.
Now, Chief Hudson, I know that nationwide, there's some untrust with law enforcement right now, and obviously you and your officers are trying to build that trust locally, but when thinking about that untrust, I thought of a situation several years ago here in North Platte. There were some individuals who imitated a police car. They had lights that were similar to a police squad car would have, flashed them, and the individual, thinking it was a law enforcement officer, pulled off the side of the road. And unfortunately, there was a bad situation that occurred. I believe a rape had occurred. But if folks listening have some untrust with law enforcement, or maybe it's a dark night and they see what looks like police lights, but it doesn't look like a police car, what's the best way for them to handle that without getting into further trouble? Obviously, you don't want to drive away at an accelerated speed, but if you're not certain that's a cop car behind you, you do not have to pull over immediately if you're not comfortable.
Well, I was going to say, I'm glad you put the, don't accelerate.
Yeah, do not accelerate, because if it is a police car, that's going to get you in a little bit of trouble.
One Adam 12, show me in pursuit. No, what the best thing to do, you know, if you're genuinely concerned, put your hazards on, slow down, proceed to a well-lit area, proceed to a public parking lot, a well-lit area. But the officer will know if you've got your hazard lights on and you're driving 15 miles an hour, they know you see it. We mm-hmm. know you see us. We know that there's probably, okay, what's going on? You know, are our people going to, there's some elevated blood pressure going on in our cars, because sure. you're trying to figure out what's going on, why. And then, but, you know, find some place that's well lit, maybe a public place, this and that, and then pull over, or, you know, if it's that bad, call 911 and ask, hey, I'm here, I think there's, in that person answering the phone call already knows that there's a police car behind you.
Yeah.
And they'll tell you, yep, it's the North Platte Police Department or Lincoln County Sheriff's or whoever it is, go ahead and pull over for us, and then we'll make that contact. If they tell you, nope, we don't have anyone there, you know.
But we're going to.
Yeah, we're going to. Just keep driving, come to the station. But yeah, just put your hat to a well-lit area, public place. Drive to the police station, I don't care.
Yeah.
Just do it safely and stuff like that. And generally, if it's not a police car, they're not going to follow you very far, because
no.
it's the shock value of doing that. And I don't want to go in and say what websites or magazines are out there, that you can go on and buy full on everything, you know, to put lights in your cars, this and that. We do not have any, currently the North Platte Police Department doesn't have any undercover cars or unmarked cars with lights in them that we would use to pull people over currently. We don't have any what we would call dual purpose cars that have okay. lights and sirens and stuff like that. So all of our cars, when they light them up, they look like Christmas trees.
There's yeah.
lights blink, this overhead lights, everything like that. So, but like I say, if there's ever a doubt, just put your hazards on, slow down, proceed to a well-lit public area, and if you want, if you call 911 and ask, hey, I'm getting pulled over, I don't know if it's the police, you know, but generally people can tell a real police car.
You know,
if they've got a one Starsky and Hutch, that they throw a light in the front windshield, you know what you would normally see here in
yeah.
town.
Well, if it's pitch black outside, for example, and the squat car's lights come on, you can tell that's a police car when those lights come on. And having the hazards on is going to help that much more, too, because your hazard lights are going to flash on there, and you're going to see, okay, yep, that's a police car, I'm safe.
Well, when we light our lights up, if you're on the one-ways and we turn all of our stuff on, it's dark. You can see the reflection 4 blocks away.
I've seen that before.
Because they're incredible, and they're designed that way. And every street sign, every overhead sign, it reflects off of all the way down the ones.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna in the red and blue and all those things. Yeah, we don't have anything that's got a single strobe, or this and that, or so. I'd like to believe most of the time people. Our police cars, you can tell they're police cars.
But oh, absolutely.
If someone was motivated to go out and purchase a whole bunch of stuff, they could make their car. And if we were to see a car like that, we're going to have a contact with them.
Oh, absolutely. You know, so. Well, and if there's somebody out there listening that thinks, I've seen a car like that before, not a bad idea to call the police department
and
report it.
Absolutely. Give us a call, and we'll talk.
Yeah.
You know, we've said it before, and, you know, our life, our job is hard enough with just sometimes the silly stuff we do, let alone the silly stuff that someone that's not a real cop does. So
mm-hmm.
absolutely, give us a call. We'll talk.
Chief Hudson, anything else you want to add this morning?
No, we just let's get through, you know, looking forward to Nebraska Land Days, the rodeos
absolutely.
And stuff like that. We're not sure exactly. I haven't heard what's going to happen with the parade as of yet, but hopefully that'll go off. It's going to happen one way or another, whether it's people driving by or the parade going down. The rodeos, it's my understanding, 5 through 8 is of August, the 5th through the 8th. And there's a couple other. I think there's a big cruise night maybe this weekend.
I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to ask you.
At the mall and stuff like that.
The cruise going on this weekend. I'm sure you guys will be out and about as always.
Absolutely.
But to encourage folks, obviously, get out and enjoy the cruise. Bring that hot rod out and show it off. Let's just obey the speed limit.
But take it home with the same amount of rubber on the tires that you brought it out with.
unless you're
at one of the burnout contests. And
yep.
I don't know. I know where they normally have it, but I don't know if they're having it there, so I don't want to say that location. But, you know, just go out and have fun. Enjoy it always as we continue to go through these crazy times. You know, social distancing as best you can. If you feel that you're immunocompromised or susceptible, wear a mask. If you don't want to wear a mask, try to stay some distance and take care of yourself. Be safe. Take care of the people around you. And you know, these are incredible times we live in, both for the positive and the negative. And you know. But I think we all have an opportunity to add to the power of positivity. There's enough bad things going on in our world. You know, maybe we need to spend a little bit more time concentrating and remembering some of the positives.
Oh, absolutely.
And life in, you know, there's the good life is right here in Nebraska, and we're very fortunate. And just kind of spend some time remembering and reflecting on that.
Chief Hudson, always appreciate you taking some time for us in the studio. It's good to see you, and we'll see you next month.
Absolutely. Take care.
More coming up later today on KODY, including The Ben Shapiro Show, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, and Dave Ramsey mixed in with Fox News on KODY North Platte with translator K291BW. Have a great Thursday. We'll talk to you Friday morning for another edition of Mugs in the Morning.